The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, we're going to get right into the message this morning. Try not to keep you much past 12:50 or so this morning. Is that all right? Okay. You all know I'm just joking. You know that. You wouldn't be laughing if you thought I was serious. I know. We've been talking about a spirit walk, and we've gotten to the point where we're talking about vocal gifts. Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is a spirit walk that we have. We're in the flesh, of course. We're in this world, but not of this world. We all recognize that. We know that. We know that we're not a part of this world. And we always have to keep our spiritual senses in such a way that we're not allowing ourselves to partake and become a part of this world system. Because if we become a part of the world systems, the world doesn't know the difference between Christianity, godliness, and the world. When churches adapt to the world, and that's what sometimes we do because we want to be accepted, right? And we see it happening all the time. People conform to the world so that the world can accept us. Well, we don't need to be accepted by the world. In fact, the Word of God is very clear. We're not going to be accepted by the world. We're going to be accepted by those who will come to Christ and want to hear the gospel message that we have. But as the world system goes, they're going to reject us. Can you accept that? I hope so, because that's the reality in Christianity. The world is not going to accept us. However, we can make an impact in the world. We can change things. We can help people to see the goodness and the love and the godliness that God wants to instill in this world system. The whole world is not going to be lost. There's going to be many come to the kingdom of God. And we get to be a part of preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. But we have to recognize that we have to keep our spiritual ears and eyes open and in tune. We have to tune ourselves to the Spirit. We have to walk, not according to our flesh, but according to the Spirit. Does that mean we're going to be perfect in everything we do? No, 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 no. We know that. We're going to make some mistakes. However, if we will practice walking in the Spirit, just like anything, if our worship team didn't practice, it would be a mess on Sunday mornings. Right? They had to be organized. They had to practice. They had to work together. They all had to be on the same page. You know? I came in here this morning. I heard Otis up there trying to get everybody on the same page. Ivy. Oh, okay. It was Ivy. Okay. All right. All I heard was him. Okay. All right. So now we know the truth. But it takes work, right? It takes practice. It takes doing. That's the same with walking in the Spirit. We have to walk according to the Spirit's guidance and direction, and we learn as we grow. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to do some things that are not necessarily godly, but God teaches us through those mistakes so that we can get back on track with Him. So we have to practice this Spirit walk. But we have to also know that we have an enemy who's doing his very best to take us off track with God. He's trying to move us off on our spirit walk into a fleshly walk. That's his desire. And we can't calculate everything that's going to happen. And you cannot stand around and worry about everything that's going to happen in your life. You can't sit around the house and just worry and fret and stew all the time about what's going to happen. You just got to get out there and live life and walk in the Spirit. Amen. Saturday morning, a man on Seaver Street in Stroughton, Massachusetts, went out to his car to check the fluids and stuff before he went on a trip. When he opened the hood, this is Massachusetts. When he opened the hood, he got a big surprise. A 5-foot-long boa constrictor was laying on the top of his engine. That's a little surprise, isn't it? You know? The snake was there just looking at him. This shows, you can go online and check it out, but it shows a picture of the big old boa constrictor. I can't imagine opening my hood and seeing that. I don't know if I doubt if they'd be able to wake me up afterwards. My goodness. But you know, that was just a physical thing that caught him off guard. Something that happened in the natural. That's the same. We have this enemy, the snake. He's slimy. And he's slithering around. And he shows up in the most unlikely places, as far as we're concerned. Because he's trying his best to catch us off guard. And he has these things called wiles of the devil. And they're traps, they're schemes that he sets up because he knows each and every one of us. And he sets up these schemes and these traps that so that he can entrap us so quickly that we're caught off guard and we've done it before we even realize it. Or we've fallen into it before we even realize it. That's the enemy that we serve, or that we fight against. But the God that we serve has given us the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that's exalted above God. Everything. This is our God. And he has equipped us. We have all the weapons that we need. Part of the weapons that we have are these gifts that I've been talking about. Revelation gifts that we talked about, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Those are important gifts that we be able to operate in the church and outside of the church. The other gifts that we have, the power gifts is faith, healing, and miracles. And these vocal gifts that we've been talking about, prophecy, the tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These are all gifts God has given to the church. These are not weird or strange behavior. This is God's behavior. This is God's dealing with his people. This is what God expects from his people. You're not weird if you speak in tongues. You're not weird if you have a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. You're right on track. I don't care what they say on The View. You're not crazy when you hear from God. You're alive. You're showing that you have some spirit about you. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Hallelujah. God is so good. So awesome. And he's leading and guiding his people. And the last gift that we want to talk about is tongues and interpretation of tongues. And I know that that's a gift that there's a lot of controversy over. It can be faked. Absolutely. There is no doubt about it. We'll talk just a little bit about that. There's everything can be faked. Anything can be faked. There's a lot of con men out there in the world that fake you out. They can tell you things. They can make you believe something that, you know, you would have thought, I would never fall for that. But they have the ability to make you believe it. You know, it's true. There's going to be some fakes. There's going to be some counterfeits. All right, well, before I get too far into this, let me get right on. I want to do just a real quick review from last week because I want to make sure that we understand. We talked about the baptism of the Spirit and the gift of speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. We usually refer to that as a prayer language. And the process of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is proper teaching. You got to have good teaching, Bible teaching. And you don't need somebody else to teach you. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. Go to the Word of God and learn what it says about receiving the Spirit, the baptism. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You can get what you need from God's Word, and you can learn. Then you have to believe. Believe for it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's what Hebrews 11:6 tells us. You have to study it out. You have to find out for yourself. And then you have to believe that this is for you. If you don't believe it's for you, it doesn't matter how many times we lay hands on you, run around you, shout, spit on you. It doesn't matter. You're not going to receive. You've got to believe. And this, the third thing is ask the Father. Ask Him. Luke 11:13 says, if you being evil, and He was talking to His disciples about giving good gifts, that the Father will give us all kinds of good gifts. Being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Hallelujah. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. The last thing is you just have to receive it. Receive it. Believe it. Receive it. When Paul found a group of people that had not been received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he taught them. He instructed them. And then he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. You can find that in Acts 19:6. Sometimes that's a way to receive the baptism, is have people who are full, who have been baptized, to lay hands on you. It's just one way. Now, we don't get caught up in this and make it a doctrine. You've got to have somebody laying hands on you. I know people that have received baptism of the Holy Spirit out in the woods, in their house, in any place. When they got serious about coming before the Lord and seeking Him to receive, they received. You know, there's all kinds of stories. Many, many people, story after story of preachers and teachers who cried out to God that they needed more in their life. And God would pour out His Spirit upon them. John Wesley was one of them. He gives an incredible testimony. You know, over and over you hear testimonies of these men who they loved Jesus, but there was something missing in their life. And they just called out to God. And He baptized them. All right. So this morning we want to look at the proper operation of tongues and interpretation of tongues in a worship service. Remember, what Paul is doing here with the Corinthians is he's teaching them how they should be operating, how their services should be in order, decent and in order. Therefore, he's teaching them the way that tongues and interpretation of tongues should be used in a congregational meeting. Do we understand that that's what Paul was all about here with the Corinthians? So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you'll turn with me to chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, we'll begin reading verse 1, and we'll read through 5. To begin with, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongue, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. All right. This particular, this section of 1 Corinthians many times has been used to justify not allowing people to, or not encouraging people to pray in the Spirit or speak in tongues in the congregation. Because Paul says it's more important to speak edification and exhortation. He is comparing prophecy and interpretation of tongues as basically the same type of gift. The reason he's saying that, the reason that he's sharing this with them is because prophecy and tongues is a word from the Lord to an individual or the congregation. When somebody comes up and speaks in tongues, and there's an interpretation of tongues, that message is for the group, or sometimes it can be for an individual in that group. But most often, it is for the whole group. Prophecy works much the same way. It can be for individuals or it can be for the whole group. That's why Paul is comparing, look, if you want to edify the church, edification, exhortation, or comfort, if you want to be able to do that, then you need to speak things that encourage, exhort, and comfort people. That's what he's teaching here. He's not forbidding the speaking in tongues or a prayer language. Edify means to enlighten, educate, inform, and sometimes even reprove and improve. Go back to verse 3 with me. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. To exhort is to urge, to press. To comfort is to soothe, console, reassure, calm, relieve. Now let me ask you something. For all those who have been taught that this is a gift from the devil, does that sound like the devil to you? It's not the devil that is described in the Word of God. The devil that's described in the Word of God comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come to soothe, urge, enlighten, educate, inform, encourage. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You can tell the difference between the enemy and our God.
That's right.
We can judge this. Now, can and will the enemy counterfeit the gifts of God? Yes, absolutely. He'll counterfeit every one of them, including tongues and interpretation of tongues. He does. He will. He'll take advantage of people if he can. So it is important that it's judged. We are told by the Word of God that the prophets are to speak, and you know, by two or three prophets speak, and then there's to be judged by the prophets in the congregation. We shouldn't just allow people to speak things and say things to a congregation that is way off track. They have to be held accountable. Each and every one of us have to be held accountable for using the gifts that we have. Now, does that mean that we're going to be perfect on every... No, the Word of God is very clear. It tells us that we know in part, we understand in part. We're not going to know it all. We do the best we can do. We learn and we grow as sons and daughters of the living God. But the counterfeit gifts are going to be out there. Now, how can we tell the difference between a genuine gift and the real gift? Well, we know, according to this scripture, that a real gift edifies, encourages, and exhorts. So the way to know the difference between a gift that is of God or from God or a gift that is of the enemy is to know how the real thing operates. Amen? I read an article this week by a gentleman by the name of Tim Callis. He's a Canadian, but what he had to say and the research that he did is applicable to us as believers here in the United States. What he was trying to find out is that he had heard stories about how the authorities, the Treasury Department, figures out what a counterfeit bill is, how they can identify it, and how people can, just the common person can identify. And so he made an appointment, this was in Canada, so it was the Bank of Canada, with an expert, and he went in and talked to this expert. And the expert summarized it basically by saying this: what you have to understand is you don't look for counterfeit, you look for the real thing. You have to understand what the real thing is before you can identify a counterfeit bill of any kind. So you have to examine, you have to learn. They take their agents in and they teach them to look at the real thing and to identify the marks on the real thing, the feel of the real thing. They have, she said this to him, there are three things that we do, touch, tilt, and look. First of all, if you touch a real bill, you can feel the texture of it. And usually if you touch a counterfeit, it's more like a slick and glossy in most cases. So that's the easiest way to figure it out. And she said also then you do the tilt test. And the tilt test is that there are several hidden identifying marks in bills. And one particular mark is a hologram that if you tilt it just right, it begins to shimmer and shine in the colors of the rainbow. That's a real bill because it's hologram inside that bill. Now, this is more recent currency, of course. And then she said, you look. Your final step is you have to look closely at this bill because the features in these bills, some of them are very fine. There's threads that run through. There's a golden thread that runs through. And if that thread is complete from end to end, that means it's a real bill. But if it's some kind of counterfeit, it'll be broken throughout it because they haven't figured out how to make that golden thread in a counterfeit bill. So the process was touch. Get close to it. Get close to the real thing. Understand it. Don't be afraid of it. Understand what the real thing is. Tilt, look at it over, inside, out, backwards. It's okay. It's okay for you to look at the gifts of the Spirit and be skeptical. I'm okay with that. I have no problem with you being a skeptic. Because I believe that if you're a skeptic and you have a true believer's heart, God will show you the truth. And you'll find it.
That's right. That's right.
Skepticism can be a good thing. As long as we don't allow it to cloud the truth when we see the truth. And the last thing that you do is you look. You look at it. You step back. You can see the golden thread that God has run through, the real gifts, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation. And you know without a doubt the real thing when you see it. Now, I'm not telling you this is going to happen overnight. If you've not been exposed to the gifts of the Spirit, and you've not been exposed to tongues and interpretation in your churches, then you're going to have to go through this process of learning what the real thing is. But I can guarantee you this, our God will show you the real thing. No doubt about it. Second thing I want to share with you this morning, praying and speaking in tongues is acceptable in the congregation. Because it's part of the prayer language. Verse 6 through 14. And now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So, likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known that what is spoken? For you will be speaking to the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of tongues in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue and my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Okay, a couple things here that we can see. Praying in the spirit. Your spirit, you don't understand it. It's direct communication with our Heavenly Father. We know that by the Scripture is very clear about that. That we are able to speak directly to our Heavenly Father through the gift of prayer language. Okay? So you're not praying in something that you understand. You're praying in something you do not understand. Therefore, he who speaks in a tongue that he may interpret. It's important. If you have a prayer language, ask God to give you interpretation of what you're saying. I would venture to say most of you have been baptized in the Spirit in here for some time. You've had times when you were praying in the Spirit and God gave you the interpretation of what you were saying. That's happened to me many times. Pray for that. Ask God. It's okay. God makes it clear. You can do that. So the apostle is telling us, listen, these gifts are good. Praying in the Spirit is good. But the most important thing is that when you come together as a body of believers, you need to make sure that everyone, not just you, not just a few people, everyone is exhorted, encouraged, uplifted. So you should concentrate on the gifts that cause this to happen in the body of Christ. He's not forbidding praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. He's telling you, let's get a balance. If you come together and everybody's praying, let's look at this. Wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 15 through 19. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Do you see what Paul is saying? Here's Paul's conclusion. I have concluded that when I'm in a congregational meeting, that I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And I'm not going to know most of the time. People around me are not going to know what I'm saying, but I'm going to pray in the Spirit. But I'm also going to pray with the understanding. I'm going to sing with the Spirit, and I'm going to sing with the understanding. Why? So that we have a balanced service where everyone is exhorted. Individually, you are exhorted. People around you who are praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit are exhorted, but you speak things that other people will understand so the whole congregation can be exhorted. Tongues and interpretation exhorts the whole body. Prophecy exhorts the whole body. Words of wisdom exhorts the whole body. Words of knowledge exhort the whole body. All these things are set up by Holy Spirit so that a body of believers, when we come together, we can be encouraged, exhorted, and be prepared to go back out and do the work of the kingdom. Amen. Finish reading this. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. That's what I was talking about. We got to have that balance. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Wow. The Apostle Paul speaks in tongues more than all the people that he ministered to. He believed in it. He trusted it. He believed that it was a gift that was given to him, and he prayed regularly in the Spirit. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. The apostle is teaching us here that if we all come together and all we ever do is pray in the Spirit, we're missing the mark. We must understand that a church service is all about glorifying God, exhorting and encouraging the body. So when we come together, praying in the Spirit's fine. But let's not all just sit around and pray in the Spirit. We have to encourage one another with words of prophecy, words of knowledge, words of understanding, with preaching and teaching of the Word, with prophetic utterance that comes forth to touch and minister life to people. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet, for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Of course. If that's all we ever do, people are going to say you're out of your mind. What's wrong with these people? They're just babbling. And you've heard that before, right? That's just babbling. It doesn't mean anything. But here's what Paul says. But if all prophesy, and remember, he's comparing prophecy and tongues and interpretation, the interpretation of tongues, as the same similar gift. And an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Hallelujah. When the gifts are operating properly, people are convinced. They're not condemned. We don't condemn people. But when the gifts are operating properly, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge come forth. When they come forth properly, people are convicted and turn to the living God. Yes, sir. I like that. Yes, sir. You know what? Because it takes the pressure off me as pastor. I don't have to come in here on Sunday mornings thinking, man, I got to perform today. No, I don't. All I have to do is come in here and be a servant of the living God. Do my best to listen to God, to hear what God is saying, to try to operate according to the precepts and the principles that He has given us, to operate in order based on the order that we have in our service. You know, people complain about schedules sometimes, but we all have to have schedules. Amen? We have an order of this service, but we don't let our order get in the way of the move of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. So praise God, I don't have to come in here and conduct this service. Hallelujah. I am so glad of that. That's a lot of pressure. No wonder so many pastors are giving up. They feel like they have to be in control all the time. No wonder. Praise God. You know, I'm out of control. Hallelujah. That's the way it's supposed to be. I don't have to control you. I don't have to control this church. I don't have to control the leaders. All I have to do is follow the leading of God. Amen. Last thing I want to share with you, tongues and interpretation must be in order. And I just talked a little bit about that. But let's look at verse 26 through 32. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Remember, we're edifying, encouraging, yes, convicting one another. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. Now listen, we are so afraid of tongues and interpretation that when it does come forth, I sometimes have to beg people to come up and let God use them. Amen? And Paul's talking about the church at Corinth having two or three people standing up and saying, hey, I got a tongues. Hallelujah. And they ran up front. I'm going to be used by God. And they start speaking in tongues. Paul said, now, wait a minute. Let's do that in order. Let's not everybody run up all at the same time. Let's do it orderly, in an orderly fashion. One or two or three of you come up, give the tongues, and then let there be an interpretation. Now, he's not condemning you if you give a tongues. Please understand this. So many people have thought that Paul is saying, if you give a tongues and no one says anything, sit down, shut up, and never do it again. That's the interpretation. That's not what Paul is saying. He's saying, you give a tongues and there's no interpretation, sit down, don't worry about it. That's Pastor Rob's interpretation. Sit down. Don't worry about it. Ask God to give you the interpretation. That's appropriate. But just because there wasn't an interpretation does not mean that you missed God. Somebody else could have missed God. Somebody else could have just, you know, fear, whatever it is, gripped them and kept them from doing what God wanted them to do. So what we're seeing here is we're giving instructions on an orderly worship service where the gifts of the Spirit are being manifest throughout that service, and one of those gifts is tongues and interpretation of tongues. And hallelujah, if we can ever get to the place where the Corinthians were, where they wanted to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, I'll have to tell some people, go back to your seats. We got too many. We just got too many people that's wanting to be used by God. I hope that day comes. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sorry, we're going to have to use somebody else this morning. Hallelujah. But we need to embrace it in such a way that we're not afraid of it. It's not a fearful thing. It's an awesome move of our God. And we can embrace those gifts. We can embrace the tongues. We can embrace the interpretation. Let me try to finish this morning. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Praise God. So he's saying there's time, there's a place for everyone to be used by the Spirit of God. The first person gets up and shares, and they have a tongues, or they receive an interpretation, they can share that. But hey, God revealed something to someone else. They can come up. This morning in our service, Tina said she saw angels dancing around with us this morning as we worshiped the Lord. As we were finishing up the service, I went over and Kathy was standing up front. I went over to talk to Kathy and she said, you know, I'm about to just run across the front of the church. I'm so excited. And she said, because I saw the same thing Tina saw. I saw the angels dancing around with us. And now in the spirit, you understand. But the spirit realm is real. And let me tell you something. I welcome those spirits, those ministering angels, into this place. When they show up, you know the Spirit of God is here. Because they're not afraid to worship. They understand our living God. They fall down before Him. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Let it happen every Sunday. And let more people see it. Hallelujah. God, open our spiritual eyes to see the manifestation of Your spirits ministering to us throughout our worship service. I ask that, and I believe it. I desire it. Amen. Now, Paul is telling us, we're going to end with this, we're going to wrap it up. Verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, all may be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. This is extremely important because he's, you know, although he's talking about prophecy, tongues, interpretation, he's making a point here that we all must understand as believers. When God shares or desires for us to be used in a gift, it's subject to you. If God gives you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, it's subject to you to operate in it. He's not going to pick you up, grab you by the head, pull you up here, cause you to float around in front of everybody so everybody knows it's God, set you down, and make you put words in your mouth. He will give you the words that you need to speak if you will listen, but He's not going to put words in your mouth. If you have a word of any kind, The Holy Spirit is going to use your vocabulary. It doesn't matter how limited you think it is. He's going to use it to minister to people. He's going to use your personality. And let me tell you something else he's going to use. Your experience. These things are given to us so that we can use the gifts in such a way that they minister to everyone. It's subject to us. Now, I know that scares some of you because that means I've got to do something. God speaks to me. I've got to get up. I got to go front. I got to talk to pastor. I got to do whatever. It's okay. You know what? If it's your first time to hear something from the Lord or to operate or be allow it to be subject to yourself, if it's your first time, we'll help you. Really, we will. I'll do everything I can to encourage you to allow you to use that gifting that God has placed in your life. It's so important that we walk in the Spirit. And it begins here. It doesn't end here, but it begins here in a service when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us. And we allow ourselves to use those gifts that are imparted to us by Holy Spirit. Anytime I have experienced the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, it's always been, when I knew that it was a real thing, it's always been orderly. It served the purpose of edifying, encouraging, and exhorting the people of the congregation. I know it seems hard sometimes to, how can I tell? That's how you tell. The real gift is motivated by love. That's the bottom line. Any of the gifts are motivated by love. Not to make somebody look good. In fact, sometimes we feel like we look pretty foolish. Doesn't matter. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about Jesus. It's about people being ministered to. Many times Jesus went about doing things that the disciples just could not understand. But it was always because he loved people. He went out of his way. He went to the Samaritan woman, which his disciples didn't understand because they hated the Samaritans. But he went out of his way to minister to the Samaritan woman in the village of Samaria. Why? Didn't matter what they thought about him. It didn't matter what the Jewish Sanhedrin thought about him or the Pharisees or Sadducees. It didn't matter what his disciples thought about him. What mattered was that he ministered to the needs of that lady and the Samaritans. That's bottom line, isn't it? When we can come to that place where we can put ourselves, and I wish I could tell you I'm always there, that I do it. Not thinking about what anybody else thinks. Well, it's not true. We're all human. We care about what other people think about us. But I've got to come to the point where I care more about what God thinks than what humans think. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. That's the last series, or last message in this series. I appreciate everyone bearing with me. I hope that some of the things that I shared with you helped you to have a better understanding of the gifts of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. It's all about walking in the Spirit, walking closer to God, walking in such a way that we can make a difference. Next week, I believe I do have another series I want to start, but I don't want to make the decision and share anything with you right now about that. However, there's a couple things I do want to share with you. We are going to start, and we'll have more information coming forth, our spiritual journey classes, which are classes to help anybody who wants to grow in the Lord. It's information about the church. It's spiritual gifts class where you learn the spiritual gifts that you have and how to be used by God. It's a solid rock foundation class. You understand the biblical doctrines. If you've never gone through anything like that, please come and be a part of it. We're going to start out with our first class will be a connecting class where we just get you connected to the church, help you understand what it means to be a member of a body, and give you some information on being connected to this body. We're not trying to force anybody to do anything, because that doesn't work. We want volunteers who have a desire to serve the living God. And I know in this congregation, we have a house full of them. Hallelujah. We just want to add more. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father God, once again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your direction. You've given us all that we need for life and godliness. We believe that. And Lord, we do want to operate decently and in order. But Father, we want to seek your spirit. We want to see your fire. We want to know that your power is available to your people. We want it manifest in this place and in our lives wherever we go. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. We believe that you're helping us grow. We're getting stronger, closer. Your spirit is moving among us. As we worship you, Father God, your power is being released. And Father God, we ask that you pour out your spirit on all flesh, for we are in the last days. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.